traveling, also providing life experiences, I think is the best gift we can give to our children, really. We really try to provide experiences, encourage them to try different things.
Welcome to our listeners. I'm honored to welcome Madeline Liu, self-taught photographer and content creator. Before she started sharing her impressions of traveling around the world, she used to be an analyst at a well-known investment bank in London. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about her career, her last travel destinations, as well as some secret spots you should keep in mind when you plan your next time off. How are you? What an honor to have you as a guest. And how should I call you? Is there like a Kosename, as we say in German?
Hi, Paul. Nice to hear from you. And thank you so much for having me. You can call me Madeline or Maddie. Probably that's easier.
I like Madeline a lot. Madeline Liu. It's a good name because sometimes you have to, like, if you want to make a career, the name is quite important, I would say, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, Madeline is my English name, you know, if we start. Because I guess if you have been to China or in Asian countries, it's quite common for everyone to have an English name just because a Chinese name is a bit difficult to pronounce. So Madeline has been my English name and all my friends call me Madeline.
And what is your Chinese name?
And so is my family. So.
Okay. We stay with Madeline. Yeah. That's easier for me, to be honest. And is that in your passport too? Like, is Madeline in your passport or do you have to ask for that?
I have to ask for that because now I don't have the Chinese passport anymore, so I can't add the name. But before I couldn't. I have to write everything in Chinese.
Where are you from? Let's start a little bit about you and your life and where you're sitting right now. And I've been following you for quite some time now, so I know some stuff, but the listeners don't, maybe. So maybe you introduce yourself. Where are you from?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Beijing in China, and I grew up there and I studied. Then it's around 2000, I left China and went to Canada to study. I studied business administration in Canada.
Where in Canada?
Nova Scotia, actually.
Okay.
I know, it's a small university, but I really like the curriculum.
Yeah.
Also, at the time, that was the beginning of the digital age. And one cool thing about that university was everybody had the IBM ThinkPad.
Okay.
So that was quite new back then. I really enjoyed it. Kind of the digital learning. That was quite new at the time. Now it's very common, but it's one of the reasons I chose that university. But that state is beautiful as well. Have you been?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan, like on a visual level. Like it's one of the best landscapes in the world, I would say, right?
Yeah. It's really nice. So I studied there for about a year. Then because of my boyfriend, who is now my husband, I moved to UK.
Okay.
And there I continued my study with computer and business studies. And then after I graduated, I worked for Goldman Sachs in London as an analyst for a few years. And then after that, I moved to Switzerland. There, we had two kids. And after that, we moved to Germany. Lived also for a few years. I moved to Silicon Valley in California. And then back to Europe. And right now, I'm actually in Switzerland. As recording.
What a life. You've seen some things. Like, congratulations to that already.
Thank you.
That's amazing. So,
just quite a journey. It has been quite an experience. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. But I mean, but you didn't work in investment banking after some time, right? Because right as of now, I know you as a blogger, a travel blogger and a photography person, I would say. What would you write down if you enter a country and they ask you, what's your job, Madeline?
I mean, I think it was what I do now. Many people call it influencer, which I don't particularly like that title. I call myself a photographer or content creator because that's more in line to what I do. I started doing this. Actually, I quit my job at the investment banking after we moved to Switzerland because At the time after I gave birth to my son, I decided, well, for me and my husband, it was really important that we raise the kids ourselves. So I decided to stay back and so quit the job at the banking and then started being a mom. So kind of just raising the kids. And then for many years, so during that time, I was really kind of, I was a bit confused with what I want to do with my life because I didn't want to go back to banking because the working hours just really long and quite stressful. I really want to have my time with the kids and the family. So for years, I didn't really know what to do until later on when the kids get a bit older and start going to kindergarten and school, I started to have the free time for myself that I decided to teach myself photography, you know, bought a camera, taught myself how to use the DSLR. And then at the time, it was the subject was mainly food because that's what I do for the family. I cook all the time. So I started picking up with the food photography and then started posting on social media. I didn't really know what I wanted to do or I just had fun doing it. And then one thing leads to another. And then as we moved again to America, we started as a family to travel more, and then I switched to travel photography, and then here I am.
Is it? It's very, very interesting to listen to you because we have a couple of similarities because it's part of what I do too. I don't agree with the word influencer. I think it's the right word. I'm not. I know what you mean. It's not as we're both not selfie persons who do beauty tutorials and whatever.
No.
But it's. Yeah. I think it's quite a privilege to influence other people. Like if I'm really of any influence, if somebody's listening to my podcast or wearing my fashion or whatever, then I'm happy. Like influencing other people makes me very, very happy. And I think you are influencing a lot of people in a very positive way. So I wouldn't downplay this word too much, but I do agree on what it is. But I straight up have one question about the photography and the food stuff. Were you more passionate about cooking or more passionate about taking pictures of what you were cooking?
More about taking pictures of
really?
The food. I needed the subject. Yes. I mean, I enjoyed the cooking, but most of the time, when I, you know, I had to cook for the family, you know, for the kids, they were eating baby food at the time. And for me, I enjoy cooking, but I was more excited the photography part of that process, you know, kind of the styling, the colors of the food to make the photo pop. And so for me, the more exciting part was to capture a really beautiful photo. And for me, that was the fun. That was what I really enjoyed it.
And it's the other thing that's interesting. I haven't seen a single picture of your family or your kids. I have the same situation. I have three children and there's not a single picture out there. So at one point as a mom, we all are kind of the same as parents. We think our kids are the most beautiful thing in the world. So we start taking pictures of them and we want to brag about the beautiness of our beautiful, highly talented children. So I'm very happy I didn't do that. But it was like now I'm super happy that I have my private life and I have my privacy and I have my little island where there's no internet, no influencing, no whatever. Did that come across your mind? Were you very clear on not showing anything or was there different times about that?
I think at the beginning when I first started social media, I didn't really think much about it. But then later on, as my account started to grow and you start to read up more about social media and I start to realize the impact it might have for me and my family. And privacy has always been very important to me and to the family. Also, I think I really just didn't want that spotlight on the kids. You know, there are kids, I want them to grow up the way as they are without anybody influence them or judging them in a certain way. But also later on, as we lived in Silicon Valley, the kids, they have also kind of the talk, you know, kind of education in school. They talk about social media, the apps, the internet, also how this impact them, you know, the internet safety, all this. Also, you know, they were also in school age, so I also talked to them about it, about my social media. They also said they don't want to be part of it. They don't want to show their face. They don't want me to record them, and I totally respect that. Yeah. So, yeah. So for me, actually, I'm really happy about that decision as well.
I very much agree. So, but let's talk about the travel part of it. So, being travel content creator, travel photographer, what does that mean? Is it mainly landscapes? Is it adventurous travels? Is it outdoorsy camping stuff? Is it hotels? Is it restaurants? Is it flights? Is it everything of that? Like, I have so many questions about it. Walk me through it, please.
Well, as a travel content, I think it depends. Everybody does it differently. But for me, I basically share almost anything that I'm excited about traveling. It could be hotels. Like, I really enjoy some of the hotel, their architecture, their food, the restaurant, the services, their location. Also, their landscape. Nature, you know, also meeting wildlife. There are also food, really special, like street food. So for me, I pretty much cover all aspects of traveling. Sometimes transportation, you know, a train ride in Switzerland because it's the journey on its own. So anything that excites me, I like to share. So for me, it's really no limits on that.
Okay. And did it like... When you started doing travel stuff, was there one special project that turned out? Like, do you remember anything that kind of had a breakthrough moment for you and your audience and your following? Or was it a constant growth and you just kept doing what you love and slowly but steadily? How did that happen?
I have to think. I mean... I think one of the first big project I had was actually when I lived in San Francisco Bay Area. My first big client was the Fairmont San Francisco, which was one of the iconic hotels in the city. We worked together to promote some of their rooms. Also, their Christmas, every Christmas, they have this huge two-floor size gingerbread house, which is iconic, really incredible. And they want me to go there and photograph and feature it on my social media channels. So kind of that was one of my first big client. And they also had like a suite decorated with the Santa theme. Okay. That was really cool. So I think that was kind of the first big project I get, make me realize that now I'm a professional photographer. I have a client now. And then I built from there. Of course, it's a gradual process. I mean, Paul, you also have a huge social media following, as you know. It doesn't take days or months to grow this account. It takes years and a lot of time and effort to create content, to grow this account. And the following is also, you know, it has up and downs. So, yeah, it's a gradual process. A lot of grinding, you know?
A lot of grinding. I have to very much agree on that part, to be honest. But you still... So, I've seen some stuff over the last days. You've been to Cannes, to a great place over there. So, you still do travel on a, I would say, weekly basis. at least it looks like it on Instagram. Do you still do private traveling, or is everything now work related? Or where do you draw that line?
Actually, it's kind of sometimes a combination because the kids go to school, just a regular school as any other kid. So we tend to travel as a family private when the kids when they're on school vacation, we travel as a family. Yeah. And when they're in school, sometimes I have a special project and then I will travel solo.
Got it.
To create content for them. So, yeah, right now it's in spring. It has been quite a quite busy. So yeah, in the past few weeks, I've been traveling nonstop.
And who is your clients at the end? Is it hotels? Is it like there's a lot of tourist boards of countries or regions, right? There's airlines sometimes. So what's your main clientele?
It's kind of varies. Sometimes are the hotels, sometimes airlines, also tourism board, all of this. And sometimes also I work with travel related products that have also, for example, luggages, etc. Accessories has also, I worked with them before, but I'm actually quite picky with kind of what product that I, if you see my account, I don't feature products very much because I only want to feature product that I really personally use and believe. So it's, yeah. So kind of, I'm quite picky on that. So I don't have a lot of clients just because I'm very careful with who I work with.
That's why you're still there. I would say the more careful people are, the more authentic their relationship with the
For me, that's important because I think when you build up a social media account, you have this following, you kind of have a trust and relationship with the audience. And I think that trust, it takes me so many years to build. And it's really important to me. And I don't want to sell something for the sake of making money, but I don't really believe in the product. Yeah. You know, so I think that people will feel it. If they buy the product, they find it's really not in good quality or they don't find it functional, useful, you know, they will lose that trust on me. And I think it's important that they trust what I tell them.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. What's your next destinations? Where are you going next? What's on the list on your calendar in the next 3 to 5 months?
I'm going to Asia. I'm going to Indonesia, to Bali, and also some islands nearby.
I've never been to Bali. Have you been already? Is that your first
time? No, it's also my first time. So this year, I'm actually going to quite a few places that is new for me. So it's quite exciting. So I'm going there and then going to the Caribbean.
Nice.
It's an island called Angola. And then towards fall, I'm also going to Namibia.
Oh, nice.
Africa. Okay. So I've been to Africa October last year. We've been to South Africa and then also Botswana. It was such an amazing trip. I mean, if anybody who hasn't been to Africa to do the safari, I highly recommend at least do it once in your life. The impression that continent had on me, I thought if I have the opportunity and the time, I would love to go back every year, you know, just to see different countries, to see the animals. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Absolutely.
So this year, I'm hoping. Have you been, Paul?
Yeah, Okavango Delta, yeah. I did probably quite nice. Very, very nice. Botswana is great. I've actually... Yeah. I've traveled a fair amount. So we do this, me and my friends, my friends and me, sorry. We do this thing, we collect travel points or country points. So I know a couple of people collect other country points. We collect country points if we visit that country. So when you stay a night, not at the airport, in a country, you collect the point of the country. And
cool.
I'm at 98. Actually, so I'm two to go to 100. And for me personally, I think country 100 should be Vatican. So like I'm going to, there's just one hotel there. So it's an easy booking situation.
Yeah.
But I think that should be the last one. And I still have one more to go. It's kind of hard for me now because I do agree very much on what you said about traveling and stuff. And I grew up in Germany, in Heidelberg, southern part of Germany. And both of my parents, they made a fair amount of money. My dad was a doctor. My mother was a lawyer, is now still in mediation. But they spent all of their extra income in traveling. So when my dad died, I didn't inherit any money, but I did travel the world pretty much every continent until I was 19 or something.
And that's amazing.
And I do think that has a lot to do with how happy I am right now and how open I am. And we're trying to do that with our children as well, where like I just got one of the best compliments about my children, to be honest, of another family where they said we visited them 2 months ago and they said like they're really open. They're interested. They're for 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. They can sit down with adults and have a normal conversation. And they were surprised by that. And I think it has a lot to do with traveling, and it has a lot to do with we moved over here to the United States 7 years ago, and they didn't speak the language. They had to find new friends. They didn't have all the toys and stuff. So like the physical side of it, they just had one suitcase, and that helped them, I think, having a bigger self-esteem into themselves, that they're going to be good wherever they go, you know? And I think this openness to other culture, other people is very, very important, and is one path to happiness, if you ask me. So that's just my very strong beliefs about it. I couldn't agree more.
I mean, I think traveling also providing life experiences, I think, is the best gift we can give to our children, really. You know, we also, as parents, we play down very much on the materialistic things, but we really try to provide experiences, encourage them to try different things. And, I can very relate to your family's situation. When we moved to America at the time, our kids was also, they didn't speak English. They have to learn. They went to a local school. They have to learn English really quickly in order to catch up with the other kids. So, but you know, it makes them stronger, you know, make them adaptable. And I see all these positive things on their development, personal development, because of traveling, because of a different experiences living in different countries, you know.
Very much. What's the number one so far? What's your favorite destination? Because you've seen some places. Mine is,
this is
probably
hard.
Jerusalem, Israel, because it's been an amazing place to
live. I still haven't been there. I mean, I really like Switzerland.
Okay.
Just the landscape here is just breathtaking. It's really beautiful. I just been to Japan in April. I really love Japan. It was fascinating country, the culture, the food. Also, Italy is one of my favorite countries. I mean, it's really, when people ask, I get asked a lot on this question, it's really hard for me to pick just one. I always like, can I do top three or top five, you know? Because also, like I said earlier, Africa, you know, different countries. So it's really hard to pick just one, but a little bit of everything from different countries, regions.
But is there one place where you always go back and you're not getting enough of it? Like, is there one destination where you're like, okay, I've been now 4 times and again, I want to go again?
I mean, I've been to Italy so many times, and I really love it. I love the landscape. I love the culture. I love the people. They are such a warm, hospitable people. You know, they take you in as a family. And, you know, and the food, I do like Italy a lot. And I do go back almost every year in the past 4 or 5 years. And also Switzerland. I mean, also, if I have chance, I want to see Switzerland more. Yeah. It's just so many hikes I want to do, so many mountains I want to climb, you know, kind of to discover all these hidden gems. There are a lot.
Very nice. If somebody's now listening and thinking about like, hey, I'm booking my next travel, because it seems like you're good in booking and planning and stuff. What's the top three things you would recommend while planning and booking and travel a vacation?
I mean, that's probably always the hardest part of my traveling, you know, the overall experience, and because I take a lot of time to research the destination and, you know, think about how I can get the most experience out of that limited time. I would say use social media to do your research, but be very aware kind of, I would say follow accounts or, you know, choose inspiration that more realistic rather than very curated content, just because sometimes social media can be very misleading. I don't know if you have experienced this. Sometimes we follow a particular image, you know, we bookmark it, we travel there, but there's nothing what is shown on the picture. Yeah. And you end up really disappointed.
Instagram versus reality.
Yeah, and this is something I'm very aware when I creating my own content. I try to really show what's real out there, you know, so people can have the realistic expectations on the destination. And I think this is kind of one of my recommendation when people do their research. Just beware, you know, kind of where you draw your inspiration from. And then also, I also recommend kind of if you really try to understand your destination, well, I mean, watch a movie, read a book, you know, read up the history or any cultural fiction, even just like novels. Sometimes some certain stories are set in a historical background, you know, kind of read up and kind of get yourself familiar in, you know, that culture that you're going to visit. And I think this will really deepen your experience while you are traveling. You're in that place.
That's good advice, to be honest. And it's very interesting it's very interesting how all of the travel inspiration has changed over the last, like probably the last 10 years have been crazy because Instagram mm-hmm. came around, Netflix came around, shows, HBO, yeah. you know, like Sicily has now the biggest...
because of White Lotus.
White Lotus is probably the biggest travel. Yeah. I don't want to know how the directors of that show are now being asked to go to the next Fiji Islands or whatever, you know, like because...
No, they're going to Thailand.
Oh, they are.
The next
okay,
one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because like it's I'm watching that show and I constantly want to go there because it's it's a constant beautiful and it's been the same with Hawaii. So like that's really became different and it's very interesting to see that. I have a couple of hot questions as I call it. Like you can go very fast. Don't go down a rabbit hole. I just need information. I need to write down a couple of things. So, country and places with the best beaches.
Bora Bora, Maldives, Turks and Caicos.
Best food in the world.
Oh, Italy, Japan, China.
Best museums.
I loved London, Paris.
Okay. Best culture and heritage.
China, Japan, Egypt, Italy.
Architecture.
Egypt, China.
Best nightlife. Where to party?
Oh, that has been a long time ago. I only remember party time back in London, so I would say London.
That's okay. Best hikes. I have a hinge. What
would Switzerland. You go? Switzerland and then Dolomite in Italy.
Okay.
Amazing hikes there.
And the last one, best shopping. Where to shop the best?
Oh, I'm not a big shopper, but if anything, I think Milan. I think Milano is quite good.
Yeah, it is. Well, thanks for those hot fire questions. I have one last question, and then we're already. I could talk forever to you because you have so much.
Yeah.
We have so much stuff also in common regarding traveling. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the type of content, or because I personally feel I would call myself a storyteller. Mm-hmm. If it's through podcast or fashion or Instagram or whatever it is, but the type of media that I put out really changes and it does interact. That's why exactly I'm not on TikTok at all because it's too mm-hmm. short formed for me. And I'm not doing the typical reels type of super short, whatever works around. And so I would be very interested to see your take on what's next. Media type wise, what's gonna be the? Are we going back to PDFs that are downloadable? I don't know. Like where do you see the future of travel content?
I mean, for me personally, on my social media channels, I mainly do reels, and actually, I also have a TikTok account. But also, it's kind of a short format videos, which I cut through. Cut the videos of different clips from my travels and fit them into the beat of the music. So I do a lot of that type of content, actually. For my travel, it's okay. And also, I find it really fun to do. So because certain music, it really fits the vibes or the story I'm to tell through my travels. So I do that for most of my content. In terms of what's next, I think everybody is talking about how AI going to affect the apps and affect how we use internet. And also, I think this will have a huge impact on content creation, also content distribution. So I actually don't have the answer to that. I'm also just learning as it goes. I think this is also part of being the content creator, or we're using social media, using technology as part of our jobs. We have to keep learning the new technology, what's coming next, and try to learn as much as we can and stay ahead of the curve. So for me, this is something I'm watching and learning continuously, and then see where this is going. And then also to be adaptable, try to learn as quickly as you can, and creating a new content format, whatever fits that new technology.
Yeah, I agree. And the longer you do it, or the longer I do it, I think the more important my perspective of it becomes. Mm-hmm. And before, like when I started, the object was number one. Like I tried to take a picture of the most beautiful thing in the world. And the longer I do it, I kind of realize there's an interest in my perspective of it, even in a photo. Like even there, mm-hmm. My interpretation of the place is important, and that's gonna stay forever, I think, because that's why people follow you, because they want to see your take on things, right?
Yeah, I think this is something I also learned throughout the years, is to really stick to your own style, to be authentic to who you are. And I think your content showed that. And that's why people follow me, because of my style. And I think just to stay true to yourself, to what you like, your perspective. I think that's really important.
Perfect ending words. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me. It has been such a nice conversation.
Absolutely. This was a special episode of Partners in Time. I really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Paul. I enjoyed it too.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Bye.